1973 was a great year. Well, maybe not for Richard Nixon. But there was American Graffiti, Day for Night, and The Exorcist at the movies. George Steinbrenner bought the Yankees. More people watched Elvis in concert from Hawaii than had watched the moon landing. The Watergate scandal unfolded, and David Bowie sang about life on Mars. Take a look at the
is there life on Mars?
Which is also the song that sets off what's now considered a classic sci-fi British TV show, in which Manchester Chief Inspector Sam Tyler gets hit by a car in 2006 and wakes up in a world where everybody smokes and telephones still have dials, and he's wearing a pair of boots that John Travolta wouldn't be caught in. Is Sam Tyler in a coma? A time warp? 1973 boss is Detective Chief Inspector Gene Hunt. Clearly hasn't heard of sensitivity training.
They reckon you got concussion. Well, I couldn't give a tart's furry cup if half your brains are falling out. Don't ever waltz into my kingdom, acting king of the jungle.
Who the hell are you?
Gene Hunt, you're DCI, and it's 1973, almost dinner time. I'm having oops.
DCI Gene Hunt is played by Philip Glenister. He joins us from London. Mr. Hunt, you see how easy it is to confuse the two of you.
Perfect.
Nice to meet you, Mr. Glenister.
Nice to speak with you. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. Could you do a little translation? For example, what's hoops?
Hoops, well, we still make them, actually, but they're spaghetti hoops, and they're out of a tin.
Pasta, basically, is a very good description. I think we might call those SpaghettiOs in the United
SpaghettiOs.
States.
SpaghettiOs, okay, yeah.
So how do you feel about the confusion between Gene Hunt and yourself?
Well, I've been playing him for a while now because I'm currently doing a sequel to Life on Mars called Ashes to Ashes.
Right.
So I've decided that basically I think he's my alter ego. He gets away with, a huge amount of things that I or anybody else wouldn't be allowed to say, unfortunately, in this day and age. So it's quite joyous just being able to sort of say all the things on behalf of everybody who wants to say those things, you know, which we're not allowed to do now.
But let's play another clip, if we could, where Sam Tyler, the policeman who goes back in time to 1973, is—I don't want to give away too much, but let's just say there's a significant piece of evidence that a judge could use to set somebody who both these policemen are convinced is a deeply bad person and likely to murder again. Here's the confrontation between your character, Gene Hunt, and Sam Tyler.
Look, listen, you told me you were a deputy to the law.
The law is putting bad people away, and you want to show a court that note? Fine. You got principles.
Hang on.
What? You want to have another pop at me? You want to get me suspended? If you like, you can try your hand. And as for this note, I'm making it your call.
It's a very, very gripping sequence, and I don't want to tip off what happens. Mm. But when all is said and done, there's something to be said for DCI Hunt, isn't there?
There's a very, very much a Western element about Life on Mars. You know, there's a spaghetti Western going on. And I think that Gene basically sees himself as the sheriff of his town, and he's there to kick out the bad guys and embrace the good guys. It's just the way he goes about it. There's a particular piece in Life on Mars, which is one of my favourite moments, is when I have a copy of a poster of The Good, the Bad and the Ugly in my office, and Sam walks in while I'm looking at this poster and he says,
"Which one are you?" "All three."
and I kind of think that kind of just sums up the man completely. He's kind of a bit Wyatt Earp, there's a bit of High Noon in there, you know? And that's what I love about the show. It sort of has all these different dimensions to it.
The script writing, as has been noted by many critics, is absolutely fantastic.
Mm.
What's the line, more nervous than a...
More nervous than a small non at a penguin shoot.
Yes.
That's the baby. I know. It's a corker. I don't know how they come up with them, quite frankly.
You were in Calendar Girls with Helen Mirren.
That's right, yeah.
Any funny little stories you want to tell about Dame Helen, who is like the most beloved person in America?
It was quite fun, the sequence I had to shoot, because I was playing the photographer, Lawrence, who obviously has to take the pictures of them all. And it was kind of fun seeing all those ladies of a certain age in the, we call it in this country, the buff, meaning in the nude. And they were incredibly supportive of each other, actually. I did offer to take my clothes off as well, but there was a big silence around the room, which wasn't very encouraging, really. When they had to do their particular setup of the calendar, all of them would be on the studio floor to be there with support, with a few glasses of champagne, I think, just to give them a bit of Dutch courage, so to speak. I wish I'd had more to do in it, really, but as I don't have boobs, it was a bit tricky, really.
I'm sure you've got...
Well, I have man boobs.
I'm sure you've got great ones when all is said and done. But that's
Gene Hunt.
Yeah. I can't believe I said that. And you've been working with Woody Allen?
I have, which was a real treat. I mean, he's one of my sort of all-time heroes, I think. Some of his films have been some of my favourite ever made, really. I have a ritual. I have to watch Love and Death every Christmas. I just love it, and I find it quite Christmassy because of all the Prokofiev music he uses in it, you know. Mm-hmm. But it was great. It's so easy the way, you know, you just see your sides of your scenes, and then he encourages you to just be as naturalistic and feel free to go off the page and ad-lib as much as possible and just stick to the main points and keep those in. And other than that, you're free to do what you like, really, which is terrific. Very enjoyable.
And, of course, you'd be shot if you told us what the movie's about, right? He's pretty...
I don't know. Honestly, I couldn't... I would be shot as well. But also, you don't get to see a full script. And as with most Woody Allen films, there's usually kind of three or four storylines going all on at once. And, you know, he's got an extraordinary cast again. He's got Anthony Hopkins, Frida Pinto from Slumdog Millionaire, Josh Brolin, Antonio Banderas, and me. So I'm sort of involved in Josh Brolin's storyline a little bit, you know, who was also delightful. Real thrill, pleasure to meet.
You have daughters, I believe?
I have two girls, Millie and Charlotte, who are 7 and 4, yeah.
Which raises just about my final question, which is, how would you feel if your daughters met someone like Gene Hunt?
That's a very good question. Do you know what? As long as he acted like me as Gene Hunt, I wouldn't probably mind, actually, because I think overall, actually, I think Gene's a decent guy. I really do. I think he's firm but fair. Just as long as he wasn't the same age as when they met, as long as she's not 17 and he's sort of 50.
Yeah.
Dad, this is my new boyfriend. He's called Gene and he's your age. Oh, good. Oh, good, good, good.
Mr. Glenister, so nice talking to you. Thanks very much.
My pleasure. Lovely to speak to you.
Philip Glenister. He plays Detective Chief Inspector Gene Hunt on the British series Life on Mars, now available on DVD from Acorn Media. He joined us from our studios in London. And to see a clip of DCI Gene Hunt in action, you can go to our blog, npr.org/soapbox. You can also share your memories of 1973.
It's on America's tortured brow that Mickey Mouse...
I'm not sure I can remember 1973. If you'd like to wake up with Philip Glenister, in 1973 you can head to npr.org to watch clips from the show. And this is NPR's Weekend Edition, directed by Elaine Heinzman, produced by Kimberly Adams, Thomas Pierce, Andy Lyman, Eamon Malone, and Julia Holmes-Bailey, along with our interns, Annika Robbins and Sarah Molnar. Our technical director is Burke Hunn, so ably assisted by the Mormon Tabernacle Choir of Engineers. Our reference librarians are Key Molesky, Barbara Van Workham, Katie Doggart, Elizabeth Allen. Melissa Goh is our web producer. Our senior editor is Tony Marcano, and the senior producer of Weekend Edition is Devar Iran Ardalan. And tomorrow, on Weekend Edition Sunday, my friend and colleague Leanne Hansen observes, and the rest of us celebrate her hosting of that program for 20 years. Imagine, she's been hosting a great national radio program from the age of 12. For 20 years, Leanne has managed to be funny, warm, smart, and fascinating at an hour of the day when most of us are lucky just to be able to brush our teeth and count our toes. You know, broadcasting can burn up people. To only get more popular over 20 years is a gift to all of us. This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.